few weeks ago, I was asked to preach to a group of people in Pinville. Some of you were there. And I wrestled with that as much or more so than ever before. I agonized over it. And I believe the Lord gave me a message. And I want to bring that message to you this morning. It's not the same message. I didn't grab that. It is the same message. But it's not. I hope it'll be brand new. You've heard this before. Very few people in this room haven't heard this message before. The truth of this message. Verse 6 of chapter 1 is the title, the subject, and it's on our sign out front. Verse 6 says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein, that is, His grace, He hath made us accepted in the beloved. To the praise of the glory of His grace. That's, we changed our church's name, as you know, years ago. Always wanted to do it and finally did it to Central Grace Church because we felt like that more accurately declared our purpose, what salvation is, our purpose, our message. Our message could be summed up in that. It's all to the praise of the glory of His grace. Salvation is, that's what this is talking about. The salvation of God's people is to the praise of the glory of His grace. Did you notice with me how many times it says His grace? His grace. By grace. Chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace you're saved. Paul is writing in parentheses in verse 5. He can't get very far without saying grace. He can't write six lines without saying, it's by grace. That's what salvation is, by grace. Meaning, a gift bestowed, unmerited favor, something done for you, something done to you, something done in you. Grace doesn't mean an offer. No. When you give a gift to someone, you don't offer it to them. Would you like, if you give a gift, you give it to them. Grace is not an offer of God, but it's an act of God. It's an operation of God. It's not a cooperation. It's an operation of God. He said, by grace are you saved. It's grace from beginning to end. It's all His work, something He does for us and to us and in us by Christ, by the Spirit of God. I want to make this just as plain as I can, okay? By grace, by grace. This whole book is the story of God's sovereign, saving grace of a people. It begins and ends that way. All of the epistles of Paul, especially, all the epistles of Paul begin with grace unto you. Because that's how salvation starts. And all of the epistles, every one of his epistles, end with grace unto you. Do you know what the very last line in the Bible is? Revelation 22:21. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. That's the very last line of the book. Why? Because it's by grace. This is the foundation of the gospel of God's grace, of the truth. By grace you say. And it's the top stone. When it's all over, all said and done, Zechariah 6 says that the top stone is going to be laid on this great temple called his church, his kingdom, by Christ himself, with shouts, with crying of grace, grace unto him. It's all of grace. This is Central Grace Church. To the praise of the glory of his grace. Grace, not works. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. He even said, faith, that's not your work. Faith is not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. It's by grace. Repentance, it's a gift of God. Works, good works, you didn't do that. That's by grace. That's the work of the Spirit of God. It's God working in us, both the will. No flesh is going to glory in his presence. Everybody that is in glory is glorying in his grace. Now, what do we mean by grace? Listen to dear brother Britt Worthen preach on what does it mean to preach Christ. People say that. Religion says Christ. Religion says mercy. Religion says grace. What do you mean? Say, we preach Christ. What do you mean by that? What do you mean by grace? Well, look at chapter 1 here, okay? Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Paul preached God's sovereign electing grace. Paul preached the will of God is sovereign in all things. Man doesn't have free will. Paul, he found that out, didn't he? His name used to be Saul. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees, remember? A Hebrew of Hebrews. On his way up the religious ladder, thought he knew God, zealous and all that, knew the law, thought he did. And Christ in mercy and grace, he said, I obtained mercy. Christ came to me and revealed himself to me by his sovereign will, by his sovereign choice. Jesus Christ came to this dark sinner, this rebel against God, this religious, moral, vile rebel, and he said he chose me by his will and made me one of his saints, made me an apostle. Paul knew this, didn't he? This is his message everywhere he goes. Everywhere he went, Paul preached that story about himself. He went around telling people what great things the Lord had done for him by his grace, by his will, by his choice. He said, everything I am is by his grace. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Know what I know. Know whom I know. And where I am. It's all by grace. By the will of God. To the saints. Saints, God's people are called saints more than anything else. You know that? It means sanctified one. A saint means a sanctified one, one who's been separated, one who's been called out, one who's been chosen, one who's been set apart from others. Lord began saying this all the way back to the Israelites, didn't he? In Egypt, he said, I put a difference between you. He said, you're going to know that the Lord doth put a difference between you and the Egyptians. That you're no different than them. You're sinners just like them. That I'm saving you by my grace, by my choice. I'm setting you apart. What is it? What set them apart from the Egyptian? Blood. Blood. They were led by Spirit, Spirit of God. Oh, saints at Ephesus. To the faithful in Christ Jesus, those full of faith in Christ Jesus, all of God's people, their faith is 100%. I'm talking 100%. Their faith's not in their faith. Their faith's not in themselves. Their faith is not in their creed. Faith is not in doctrine. Faith is not in anything or anyone but Jesus Christ. All their salvation is in Christ Jesus. They're full of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You ask them what their hope is, say Christ. Ask them what their righteousness is, they say Christ. Ask them how they're going to get to heaven, they say Christ. So how'd you hear this? Christ. He said the word. Faithful in Christ. That's what it means. In Christ. Ask them what their hope is. Be found in Christ. In Christ. You know how many times it says that? In Christ. In Christ. In Christ. You ask all the saints, they'll tell you that their salvation is to be found in Christ, like that ark. Not having their own righteousness, but covered, pitched, shut up, shut in, kept, saved 100% by Jesus Christ. That's what that means. It doesn't mean, oh, you're such a noble, faithful person. We're saved by the faith of Jesus Christ. His faithfulness. We're like Gomer. We're like Gomer. But lots of times we're unfaithful. And then how are we going to get there? He'll never let us go. He's our faithful husband. You like that? If you know grace, you love it. See, this is to the praise of the glory of His grace. His grace. Verse 2, grace be to you. What grace? All grace. Every grace. God of all grace. Keeping grace. We're going to go on to describe, define this grace. And peace. God's not angry with us. He ought to be. That's what we were talking about this morning. The truth of the matter is, God ought to be angry with us. The truth of the matter is, we ought to be in hell right now. The truth of the matter is, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Still do. Truth of the matter is, our sins are worse than the sins of unbelievers. That's the truth of the matter. But here's the grace of the matter is, Christ died. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ. Peace from God our Father. He is our peace. That's what He said there in chapter 2, verse 14. Then He is our peace. He is our peace. We all know that. God sent Him. It's from God and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According as He hath... Here's the first grace that He mentions. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places or things in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. This is the first grace, sovereign electing grace. Don't you love the sound of it? Elect according to the foreknowledge of God. This is where it all started. You know, everything, all of salvation started with God making a choice. With God electing a people before the world began. That's where it all started. And He elected a people, set His love on us. Purpose to love Him and never quit loving Him. This is such good news. This is all my salvation. And those that He chose and those He set His love on Him never quit loving Him. He loved them even while they were dead in trespassing sin. Even while they didn't care for His Son, He cared for them. Not everybody, but all of His elect. And He gave them to Jesus Christ in a covenant. In a covenant made in the council of eternity before the world began. He gave them to Jesus Christ to come to this world and be their substitute. Be their covenant head to die under His wrath and His judgment against their sins, be made sin for them, they who knew no sin, that they might be made the righteousness of God, holy and unblameable in God's sight before Him. He did it in love. And to make them love Him and love the Son and love the truth. He did it all, you see. He did it all. And it was all determined, this was all ordered in all things, predestinated, ordered in all things, and it's what? Sure. Yes, Paul wrote in Romans 11, I believe it is, he said, it's by grace through faith that it might be sure to all the seed. electing grace. Sovereign electing grace, chosen in Christ to be holy without blame. He did it in love. Verse 5, predestinate, having predestinated us under the adoption of children. Predestination, that means your destiny is predetermined. Who wouldn't like that? Huh? Oh, my. Predestination. Everything's ordered and sure. He said the hairs of your head are numbered. Predestinated under the adoption of children. It said predestinated to be conformed to His image in Romans 8. Predestinated. Adoption of children. All ordered and sure. Here's a pretty good illustration. Before Hannah was born, when we knew that Mindy had conceived, and we began to make plans. Did you not? Did you not make a room for that baby? Did you not fix it up? Did you not prepare a place for that baby? Did you not already name it? Did you not? No. Did you not make all those purposes and plans? You had everything already prearranged. Huh? For your child. Did you love that child when it was in your womb, before it was born? Did you? Ask one of these mothers. Oh, yeah. Loved you before you were born. And you made all these purposes and plans. And that child was born, everything was ready, waiting, determined. That's our God. That's Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Everything about it. He knew us before we were born. Everything was purposed about us to the very hairs of your head. And He's ordered all things and are sure concerning His people. We've been adopted into His family. I like to call it, well, it is planned parenthood. God purposed. How many children you have, who they were? Yeah. Don't you? I mean, we think we do. We like to think we do. You know, women are for pro-choice, aren't they? Huh? Aren't women for pro-choice? Well, this is God's choice. I'm pro His choice. But I ain't pro. He made this choice. Huh? And here's the amazing thing about it. This is grace. This is sovereign electing predestinated grace. Here's the amazing. See, this is amazing grace. Here's what's amazing about it. This is why it's to the praise of the glory of His grace. The amazing thing is, why in the world would He do this for anybody? Amen. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned against Him in league with Satan, they had gotten in league with Satan. Yeah. Who's God think He is? After all God had done for Adam and Eve, shook their fist in God's face. Yeah, you know. After all God did, what would you have done? What if you had a dog that did nothing but bite you? What if you had a dog that did nothing but bite you? You feed it and feed it and feed it and it'd bite you and growl at you. Wouldn't come when you called. What would you do? That's Isaiah 1, isn't it? That's Isaiah 1. He said, I've nourished and raised up the children that rebelled against me. Ox knows his owner. Ass knows his master crib. He said, my people don't know. They don't even consider. He said, the whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. Here's amazing grace. But God. God's going to have to take that old biting dog. Biting dog. Brother Bruce said. And just break it. Make it realize, I found you in the pound. You were destined for death. And I found you and I chose you and I brought you home. And I did everything for you. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? My old dog Annie, you know, I don't think she ever got over that. Every time she saw me, she just shake all over. She didn't just wag her tail, she wagged her whole body. Thankful. You saved me. She was destined to be euthanized the next day. And I chose her out of all of those. And she never got over it. Neither will God's people. We're talking about amazing grace. We're not talking about a doctrine. We're talking about him choosing me. Jacob saying, Esau's a better man than I am. And Jacob said he loved me. That's amazing grace, isn't it? Amazing. Chose us, predestinated us to be his children. Why did he do it? The good pleasure of his will. First time, it was his will. It's just the Father's good pleasure to make you his children. Verse 6 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace. You see, it's his grace. It's his work. He's made us accepted in the beloved. Made us accepted in the beloved. Like I said, the Lord Jesus Christ was sent down here not to a good people, not to a nice people, not to a worthy people, not to people that asked for him or even wanted him. No, it's the opposite. Not to a lovely bride, not to a poor woman that's just falling on bad times. She really has some virtue in her. No, we're talking about a harlot. We're talking about a woman who's just vile and ugly. And he married her, paid the price for his own precious blood. And what did she do? What'd she do after that? She played the harlot again. That's who he married. Is that you? And boy, after a while, she finally realized, I can't believe he loves me. I can't believe he chose me. I can't believe he came to marry the likes of me. Why would he choose me? That's what we're all going to do in glory. All that are there, all that know they were saved this way by his grace, they're all in glory. All the bride, they're going to be made beautiful through his comeliness. And they're all going to say, isn't our husband one? Can you believe, if I lack of a better way to put it, can you believe that he'd come to us? The thief on the cross is standing there. It's amazing. Amazing! Mary Magdalene said, yes, it is. It's amazing. Amazing. He did it. He did it. His grace. You see? Got clear about what we mean by grace? Offer. Even if it was an offer, you don't want it. By nature, you wouldn't accept it. Don't want it. He came down here, told him who he was, told him why he came. Come unto me. He said, you will not come unto me. He said, come unto me. They don't need you. Go back where you came from. Better yet, we'll kill him. Oh, my. It's amazing, isn't it? Amazing grace. And he did that for the very ones that killed him. Not all of them. Some of them. Verse, accepted in the beloved. We're going to get into glory. We're going to walk in on the arm of our blessed husband. The Father who made all things for his blessed Son, who ordered all things for his Son's honor and glory, who made this marriage supper of the Lamb, who made this kingdom for the honor and glory of his Son. And buddy, if you're not on his arm, you're not going in. If you're not covered in his righteousness, you're not going in. If you've got some fig leaves you've covered up, you think, I look pretty good. He'll let me in. No, if it ain't the righteousness of Christ, you're not coming in. You're not accepting. Unacceptable. God sees right through it. God says, you're coming, you're getting your glory here. You're taking the glory. He said, cast him out of here. All these, who are you here? How are you all here? Why are you here? Him? Come on in. You see that? Everyone that comes to God says, we're coming by him. We're coming because of him, your son. It's him that we're here. We don't deserve to be here. Would you accept us in your son? Absolutely. Absolutely. Over here, well, we haven't been that bad. We've done some pretty good things. We're not as bad as them. Get him out of my face. What it took for God to put away our sins was the blood of His Son, putting His Son through hell. For anybody to say that they had anything to do with it is an abomination to God. God's absolute sovereign free choice of His people and election of His people who didn't deserve to be chosen. No man doesn't deserve a chance to be saved. Nobody deserved to be saved. But God chose some. And every one of them know that. That if He hadn't chosen them, they wouldn't have chosen Him. And they all praise Him to high heaven for His amazing, sovereign, electing grace of such unworthy, despicable, vile creatures as they are. That's a fact. If you don't know that and believe that, you're not one of the elect. How dare a human being say, yeah, but what? Here's what we did. Here's what I did. You know what I did? I did the sinning. Here's what He did. He did the saving. I did the rejecting. He did the choosing. The accepting. I did the running. He did the finding. I did the rebelling. He did the obedience. Is that you? Then I believe you're one of the elect. This is to the praise of the glory of His grace. When Moses said, Lord, show me Your glory. Remember that? Exodus 33, show me Your glory. God said, okay. I'm going to make all My goodness pass before you. I'm going to proclaim the name of the Lord. And this is all Christ. All My goodness is going to pass before you. You're going to walk on this earth, the goodness of God. All the goodness, all the grace of God is going to walk this planet in a person. I'm going to proclaim the name of the Lord, Your Lord, whom I'm given you to. Your salvation, the Lord of your salvation. Your captain, Your Messiah. I'm going to proclaim, and I will be merciful. You know, mercy means not getting what you deserve. Being spared. You see, God spared not His own Son in order to spare us. That's the only reason He spared us, because He spared not His own Son. He said, I will be merciful. Praise God for His mercy. On whom I will be merciful. Mercy by definition must be sovereign. Show it to whom you will. And I will be gracious. I will give everything. I will do everything. I will provide everything. I will apply everything. I will do all that they need for that. I'll do it all. And all I expect in return is praise. That's all I can do. Redeeming grace. Look at verse 7. It's only been 26 minutes. Verse 7 says, in whom we have redemption. Redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins. Boy, if we really stop and think about that. What's sin? Oh, my. Forgiveness of sin. Sins past. David said, Lord, don't remember the sins of my youth. Remember that? Lord, please don't remember the sins of my youth. And then at the present, I said, oh, my sin is ever before me. And then what are we going to do in the future? John, we have the forgiveness of sins. All of them. Past, present, and future. Why? Because God killed His Son. Because God killed His Son. I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Sinners, all of you sinners. You're sinners. But Christ paid for us. I see the blood, He said. You've been redeemed. You've been paid the price. The ransom has been found. The price has been paid. The penalty has been paid. The soul that sinneth must surely die. Christ has been made sin for you. His soul had been made an offering for sin. And God is satisfied. He said, your sins are gone. I won't remember them no more. But what? But God. redemption to those who have no redeeming qualities at all. Christ redeemed. It's according, you see, verse 7, to the riches of his grace. And read on. He says he's abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Oh, of God are you in Christ Jesus. I got to quote it, see if you remember it. Of God are we in Christ Jesus, who of God, it's his grace, who of God is made unto us. I want to hear you say, of God is made unto us. What do we do? Anything? He's made all things for us. All of us. By his knowledge, my righteous servants are justified. Men, wisdom. Wisdom, righteousness. By what? His righteousness. We're made righteous. Not ours. Right. Sanctification. He said, I sanctify myself that they might be sanctified. He set himself apart. And redemption. No redeeming qualities whatsoever. Christ is our Redeemer. Because Boaz married us. Because he's our kinsman Redeemer. Because he came to us. And we found grace in his eyes. And he set his love upon us and married us. And now everything's on purpose. Oh, and he's made this known unto us. Verse 9 and 10. This is a revealing grace, the mystery of his will. It's a mystery to most. The good pleasure he purposed in himself, in Christ, before the world began. In verse 10, here's gathering grace. Verse 10, they might gather together in one all things in Christ. Gathering grace. Dearly beloved, we're gathered here this morning by Jesus Christ. To the praise of the glory of his grace. You know that? Everybody in heaven is gathered because Christ sent the Spirit to gather them. Because God chose them, because Christ died for them, and he said, none of them are going to be lost. I'm going to send my Spirit through the preaching of the gospel and round them all up. I'm going to gather them together. What are they going to be doing? I'm going to make that big marriage supper praising the Lamb. Gathered. Dearly beloved, God may say that. Dearly beloved, I have gathered you here together. Here's my son. Praise him. And this is the last thing. Verse 10. Verse 11. In whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose. The will, the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his will, that we should be to the praise of his glory. An inheritance that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, that Christ, he deserves it. He's the heir. He's of all things. And we're joint heirs with him. And we're all going to be standing, God's people are going to be standing in glory with Christ on his arm, his beloved bride. And he's going to say, look, that all these things I've prepared for you before the foundation of the world, this is all yours. New heaven, new earth, it's all yours. It's yours. It's yours. It's yours. It's my sons. For me. All this for me. Inherited it. Because of the Son of God. Well, who did he do this for? In chapter 2 says, dead sinner. You that were dead, walked according to the course of this world, children of wrath, even as others, but God, rich and great, love, mercy, and grace, did this, quickened you together with Christ. Oh, it's by grace you say. Raised us up and made us sit together in a heavenly place. You've heard a glorious message. You've heard the message of the gospel of his glory this morning. Which things the angels desire to look into. Oh, it's by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We're his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto good work. Which God hath before ordained that we should walk unto. And in the ages to come, he's going to show us the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to His grace. All right, let's close by singing number, what number?
236.
Yeah, 236. You don't need a book for this, but 236 and...